Hi there, it's Andrew Langer. I want to welcome you all to my very first podcast. Yes, I know I am months behind, if not years, on this technology, but I figure it was really time to pull the trigger on this and start to actually doing some sort of a podcast. I'm speaking to you from the warm climes of Annapolis, Maryland. It is a beautiful day on this Monday, the 18th of May. Today we're going to really jump in and sort of get in on what I think is the hot topic, at least from the Institute for Liberty's perspective, and that's this past week's dust-up over the Office of Advocacy and the Office of Management and Budget in the White House. For the uninitiated, as you all know, a couple of weeks back, the EPA issued its endangerment finding on carbon dioxide, essentially giving way to the possibility that the EPA will start regulating carbon dioxide as a pollutant under the Clean Air Act. Now, those of us who have been involved in this issue for some time know that this is incredibly problematic for a wide variety of reasons, largely because the Clean Air Act focuses on discrete sources of emissions into the environment. That is to say, large-scale operations that produce prodigious amounts of whatever pollutant happens to be at issue. Generally, we're talking about things like nitrogen oxides and sulfur dioxides, NOx and SOx that come out of large power plants and are created by the burning of fossil fuels, those that can be the contributing components of smog. And you need large sources in order to generate the amounts necessary to trigger regulation under the Clean Air Act. Here comes EPA saying that we are now going to regulate CO2, the problem, of course, being that you don't need very large physical plants in order to generate the amount of CO2 that would trigger regulation by the Environmental Protection Agency. Really, we've been showing, and repeated studies have shown, that you can have a relatively small, medium-sized operation, let's say a good-sized pizza restaurant with a gas-fired pizza oven. We all love that those traditional pizza ovens. Something like that could trigger Clean Air Act regulation, and therefore you would have this medium-sized restaurant that all of a sudden is being treated like a Constellation Energy plant here in the state of Maryland. Clearly that can't happen. And so numbers of advocacy organizations, the Institute for Liberty included, have put out good, solid cost estimate numbers on the impact of the regulation of CO2 on small businesses, including the Office of Advocacy, which is part of the Small Business Administration of the SBA. Now let's talk about advocacy. Advocacy is an incredible organization in as much as, or insofar as, it is the only operation within the federal government, the only office within the federal government statutorily charged with being able to challenge the regulatory decisions of all of the other agencies that are out there. They take regulatory proposals from other agencies and they analyze them for the small business impacts. And as clear as I can tell, there is no other operation within the United States that takes such a comprehensive role. Now, I will say that the Institute for Liberty at some point in time would love to have an operation whose breadth and depth of analysis is on parallel with the SBA's Office of Advocacy, but we're not there yet. So SBA really has the core competency in this within the federal government. They're charged to do it, and it's one of two offices within the SBA that we think that just does just a spectacular job. The two most important offices within the agency, advocacy, is one of them. And so advocacy was called upon by the OMB to offer up its thoughts on EPA's endangerment finding, and they did. And they said, as we could all expect and would hope them to be, in a non-political, non-partisan fashion, they said that this will have huge impacts on small businesses in America for the very reasons that we've outlined, that you're talking about drilling down to very small operations. And so OMB, as one would expect, reported both the favorable and unfavorable views of what EPA is doing. And this caught the attention of the media. And somebody pointed out, well, you've got this office at the SBA that is saying that that is pushing back against EPA's regulation of CO2 as a pollutant, or proposed regulation of CO2 as a pollutant. And rather than get in there and talk about what the SBA's Office of Advocacy does and what their role is in the regulatory process, the White House and the Office of Management and Budget turned around and instead said, well, the person who's running this office is a Bush holdover, and therefore trying to discredit the work of this as some sort of neocon mole operation within the government. Well, that's simply ludicrous. And we think it's incredibly unfortunate that, once again, they're going to be playing the sort of partisan politics, Blaine Bush role in what is an important process. But let's talk about some of the facts here. Sure, Joseph Johnson, who did the analysis at the SBA, is an ardent free marketeer, limited government type. And, yes, he did come out of the Mercatus Center, which is an excellent organization in terms of doing that sort of economic analytical work. But the woman who runs the office, the acting director, is a woman named Sean McGibbon. And Sean has been for years a tireless fighter for small business interests. To call her a Bush holdover is patently ridiculous on its face. Why? Well, number one, Sean is a career civil servant. She's been at the Office of Advocacy, I believe, for, I want to say, 10 years, maybe more. But the fact is she was appointed or she was hired into her job as one of the deputy chief counsels by a guy named Jerry Glover, who was the director, the chief counsel for the Office of Advocacy under the Clinton administration. So he was a Clinton administration appointee who hired her. And what's more, she came on board from Representative Al Wynn's office. Now, Al Wynn was, at the time, a congressman from Maryland, and he is a Democrat. And so, you know, you have a Clinton appointee, a Democrat appointee, hiring someone out of a Democrat member of Congress's office. And what's more, Ms. McGibbon spent a considerable amount of time this past fall, working as a volunteer for the Obama campaign. She worked very hard. She took bus trips for the Obama campaign, out there volunteered to get this man elected president. And so this idea that she is somehow a Bush holdover makes no sense once you know the facts. But again, you know, you're sort of getting down to folks who are less interested in the facts than they are in creating a good story, or as we're calling it these days, the big lie. And she has literally been thrown, well, not literally, figuratively thrown under the bus by the White House, which I just think is incredibly unfortunate. You know, to me, you know, you want to reward people when they do good work. You want to reward people when they work on your behalf. There's a certain degree of loyalty. But when they do their jobs, as the Office of Advocacy has done in this instance, when they have done excellent work, and when they are going out there to protect a group which needs to be protected, that is small business in America, we think that this is just dastardly. And I've gone on the record and have said that you know, this is just reprehensible, and I think it is. You know, you just can't go around doing this. I think, you know, it's one of the things that we have all argued against, and we argued against with the previous administration, was when they treated constructive criticism as a sign of disloyalty. You really undercut your ability to effectively govern when you do that. True leadership is demonstrated by your ability to hear different points of view. You may not agree with it, you may not listen to it, but you have to. You may not heed their call, but you have to actually take the time to sit down and have those points of view heard, get them on the record, so you can make fair judgments. We think that, we think an apology is in order, certainly. We think that the OMB needs to get out there and say, you know something, we were wrong. This person was merely doing her job. Her office was doing its job. We recognize that small business is important. You know, it's funny because Ms. McGibbon would be someone that IFL would think would make a great permanent chief counsel, at least a chief counsel for this administration's term in office. So we think that needs to be considered. But in the end, we think that that this work cannot be ignored, that the small business impacts from regulation of CO2 as a pollutant being considered by the EPA is something that simply can't happen. You know, our economy is much, much too precious and too precariously balanced at this time, and the fact is that this is going to be a tremendous shock to the system. So that's it for my first podcast. I want to thank you all for listening in. Please feel free to send your comments to president@instituteforliberty.org. Check out our website, www.instituteforliberty.org. I want to thank you all very much, and I look forward to hearing.